Wow, they found it for me. Thank you. So the show is taping. I guess now I need to go back to the regular screen, right? All right. Thank you guys. Thank you. So, yeah. We're on a roll now. Once again, this is Linda Sims here, live, WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Also, I'm going to repeat. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh107.1fmradio. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or call in 740-383-9944 for questions or comments. Now, I'm going to redo Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Now, for the past 2 years, they have been doing free produce every third Saturday of every month. Now, that stops in December, starts back up in April. So it will not take place until April the 16th of 2022, and I will continue to announce that for you. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. And also, Pastor Jackie Peterson will be my guest tomorrow. It's been a while since she's been on. She is such a busy woman and wears so many hats in our community and even in her local church. Okay? Now, I have another announcement. The dynamic duo will be returning, Kimba Hubbard and Tim Jones, Choosing God's Best. Or waiting for God's best, however you want to say it. They will be doing a pre-Valentine show on February the 8th. Now, Kimba will be my guest on the 31st of January, and that will take place from 5:15 until 6 p.m. So, those of you who are interested in listening to Kimba, and we've had a lot of good feedback about her in reference to her and her part in the Choosing God's Best. Well, she will be here. Mark your calendars. I will be announcing this also. Okay? Now, I do have a thought for today. I love to open up my show with one. And that thought is titled Honesty and Clarity. And it goes like this: honesty and clarity. Okay. We know what being honest means, don't we? Well, at least we should, right? Tell the truth. Honesty does not mean simply speaking your mind. Honesty means to be very clear about everything going on inside you. Where there is honesty, feelings become pure and clean. You ever get to telling somebody really what's on your mind, and then your mind says, "Well, don't tell them all of that," and you kind of hold some of it back, and it's like, well, that's what I mean, and you kind of cut it off in the middle of what you're saying, because you feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't say all that's on my mind. Maybe they'll be offended, even though I'm offended sometimes, or it don't even have to be about offense to tell people what's on your mind. It may just be your opinion about a particular subject, right? Honesty, where there are no other thoughts or feelings inside other than those that God Himself would have. Such clarity is reflected in our words. They will be filled with the power of truth and spoken with ease and without hesitation. The genuine honesty cultivated within you is what will reach out and touch others. The genuine honesty cultivated within you is what will reach out and touch others. Where there is honesty, feelings become pure and clean. Honesty is where there are no other thoughts or feelings inside. I guess that's true once you pour yourself out. And I'm just saying, it just depends on really what you have to be honest about. And hopefully, like I was saying earlier, that it depends on where I am with honesty. I might not just say everything that's on my mind, and sometimes that may not be a good thing, because then you walk away and say, well, why didn't I say this or why didn't I say that, you know, because that was really what was going on inside of me, but I only shared a part of it. Now, how many of you are like that with me? Like that as I am. That's what I mean. Now, I have a daughter that she just doesn't hold back. She just says what's on her mind, you know, and yeah, sometimes it hurts. You know, she doesn't hold anything back. But, you know, sometimes, like I said, it depends on what it is. Now, if someone really upsets you about something and then asks you how you feel about it, or maybe they won't ask you how you feel about it, but they hurt your feelings and they can tell by the look on your face that they hurt your feelings. So now, what do? You say, honestly, well, you hurt my feelings. Well, how did I hurt your feelings? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and as if maybe you're saying something to me as if to say that I did something that you didn't like, or you want me to do something that I don't want to do, and then you're coming back at me as if, oh, well, why won't you do it? Well, I don't want to do it, so I shouldn't have to do it. You know, so, and then you have that back and forth going on. So, I guess my mind is saying, it depends on what I have to be honest about. But I said to myself, I'm really going to work on being honest completely. Just pouring myself out in a healthy manner. How does that sound? My grandson said that to me one day. I just want to have a healthy conversation. I'm thinking, okay, I'm with that. You know, but sometimes it doesn't sound healthy what's coming out, right? So, let us settle down. It's a new year. So, let us not only have a new year, but a new you and a new me. So, that's kind of like how I'm looking at the new year. I want to be a new me. I don't want to be that same old, I don't think I was that bad, but you know, a lot of times, I'm really shy people, and a lot of people don't understand that I'm really shy, you know, unless just really confronted face to face, and then I kind of like that better, because I know how to respond to you face to face. You know, I don't like people speaking at me, and instead of coming face to face and talk to me, okay, and then maybe I can respond the way I would like to respond, and not walk away and say, well, why didn't I say this and why didn't I say that? I think it is because I'm shy, and I don't know who's shy out there. Is there anybody else out there shy and have a hard time saying what really they want to say sometimes? I mean, yeah, you would think at my age I wouldn't have any problem with that. You know, not saying that I'm that old, but I'm over 50, I put it like that, so I should be able to be more honest. Now, clarity is something like, clarify yourself when you're talking, right? I am going to bring that up. Clarify yourself. Make it clear. Clarity. The quality of being coherent and intelligible. For the sake of clarity, each of these strategies is dealt with separately. So when you're trying to be clear just on mix a whole lot of other things with it, and people are still looking at you as to say, what are you talking about? You're talking about two or three different things at once, and nothing is really making sense. Okay, so calm down. Lord, give me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak plainly and clearly. I have to do that sometimes also. Being transparent, or purity. Okay, so transparent. The condition of being transparent. Wow, give me the full definition. Okay. All right. I guess people don't question you when you're transparent. They're not really giving me maybe what I think it should be. Say, what do you mean by transparency? The quality that makes it possible to see through something, the transparency of a piece of glass. Now, I can get with that. I can see through a piece of glass, right? So when you're making things clear to people, you want them to look through that as if they're looking through a glass, a clear glass, so they can see exactly what you're saying, how you're saying, and they can interpret what you're saying clearly, and they won't have to question, what do they really mean, you know? The quality that makes something obvious or easy to understand, the transparency of their motives. He says that these are examples. He says that there needs to be more transparency in the way the government operates. Well, I agree with that, because that's another bunch of confusion, because sometimes I don't think they know how it should work. There's so many attitudes, and not only attitudes, but opinions and ideas, and it's going on both parties, you know. And we're just, you know, we elect officials, and they go to their designated places, and they do what they do. Sometimes it's not just for us as people. Sometimes it's for their own gain, politics, you know. So we try to leave politics alone, right? Okay. Because anymore, everything has become almost what I would consider political, you know. And I don't like to get into politics unless we're talking about an election and who's running or something like that. But the way the government is going, I just kind of leave it alone, because it doesn't matter who's in the White House, who the governor is, and people are persuaded by other people, and things just generally go the way they go, like it or not. And a lot of times we don't like it, right? Sometimes we do like it. So, just like the COVID, now you're talking about making things transparent and with clarity and being honest. What about COVID-19? Wow, who understands what's going on? Does anyone really know? Can they tell us exactly what's going on? Can they tell us whether the vaccine is really working, or, you know, is it going to go away? Right now we're dealing with the fourth variant of COVID-19. So that is one thing that we are dealing with that we do not have clarity of. At least I don't, because I talked to my friends, and some of them have not gotten the vaccine, have no intentions of getting the vaccine, and they may get COVID. Still don't want the vaccine, because they hear that even with the vaccine, people get it, okay? I guess that's just like a flu shot. You know, if you get the flu shot, can you get the flu? I guess some people do, according to nurses and doctors, you know. So let's see what the lack of transparency means. It means the state or quality of not allowing light to pass through. Thickness, haziness. So when we're not transparent, then people really don't understand what we have just said, right? Or what your intentions may be, whether it was a good thing or maybe it was a bad thing. Okay, so how can we learn to be more transparent? When you are transparent, you invite trust by revealing that you have nothing to hide. You establish yourself as an honest, credible person in the eyes of others. So how does that sound? Okay. You establish yourself as an honest, credible person. Because you know what? When you get to talking and you kind of sound wishy-washy and you really don't know how to make yourself clear, then people think they must be lying, right? That just crossed my mind. They may say, well, they must be lying. They're not telling the truth. They're going all the way around the mulberry bush and back up and down the side, and they're not really credible, so I don't even know if I trust what they're saying. And that can happen too, and you can be perfectly honest about what you're saying, but you have not been transparent. You have not established what you're saying as one, the person that you're talking to, can see through that clear glass. That's what we are trying to get to. The people, when we're talking, that communication, right? Communication. That's the same thing. Honest communication. Making yourself clear when you communicate with people, you know. Or just tell me a few words and just leave me hanging. Wow. You ever had that happen to you? Or just hang up the phone. Ugh. Wow. I've been through all kind of stuff. You know, I have 4 children, okay? They're not children. They're all adults, but still. Maybe some of you can, understand where I'm coming from, where that's concerned. But I was at the Martin Luther King Day breakfast put on by the Peace and Freedom Committee at the pavilion. It's on the corner of the Marion Palace Theater. And the author, Nick Stone, was here from Atlanta. She is the author of 11 books. She's only like 35, 36 years old. And she spoke today and she talked about how she was so fascinated by books at a young age, and she just did not see herself writing books because she didn't see anyone like her or her personality, the things that really was important to her to talk about. You know, she did not see that coming from another artist. And she says she read the book Divergent. I have not read that book. I haven't read that book, so I don't even know what that's about. But she said after she read that book, she said even though it was from a white author, because again, this is about the Martin Luther King Day breakfast and his legacy, it was a white author, but she saw herself in that. And she talked about that one movie, Sandlot. I like that movie myself, Sandlot, and how there was one black boy on that team, and she could relate to that because there was somebody black there, or being the only black in your class, and there's no one else around you that looks like you. A lot of us have gone through that. I know I did, at least up until the 3rd grade. I mean, from kindergarten, I was only black in my class. But she was really inspirational. A lot of the young people, maybe they never thought of being an author, but maybe now they will think about being an author, because she's like 35 years old and she talked about her struggles growing up and how she just wanted to pour herself out in her thoughts and in her imagination. So once she wrote that first book, she said you could go on her website and find it, Nick Stone, for you just to read. She said nobody wanted it, though. Okay? But it's on her website. And she was at the Marion Public Library, I think, from 2 to 3:30 today, giving away books and signing them. So hopefully some of the students were able to get a book and have it signed and meet her personally. I thought that was really nice of her. 200 books is a lot of books to give away. And we were so honored to have her here through the Peace and Freedom Committee. And not only that, breakfast was good. Okay, now Martin Luther King was assassinated in 1968, and this is 2022, and that's what, 53 years ago, and it's been a long time. And I did share some of this with my daughter, because she was saying that her children did not, she didn't really push the issue or share the importance of Martin Luther King and getting out to vote and things like that, and the sacrifice that was made. Well, if we don't tell our stories, how can we inspire our young people to become a part of the system, which is voting? You know, like in Abraham, you know, God chose him because God said Abraham will teach his children, and they will teach their children on down the generations. Now, I have been inspired. I remember when President Kennedy was assassinated. Okay, I have a caller calling. Okay. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Yes, this is Dacia Wade calling in.
Hi, Dacia. Wow, you made it, didn't you?
I barely, but I made it.
Yes, you did. Now, Daisy Wade is one of our, she comes at least once a month. She does the End Time Mysteries Revealed show. Oh, we're so glad that you were able to call in. Wow. So, how's your day been?
My day has been, it has been good. It's been kind of stressful, but it's been good. It's a great day. Got some good news today.
Well, praise God. That's beautiful. Good news is always received.
With Thanksgiving, right?
Amen. Amen. Always anticipate to hear something good. It helps your day go a little easier, you know, with a smile on your face. But Daisy has, she's retained a new job, and she really can't get on the show like she wants to. And I think she was kind of stressed out about that today, but hey, we got away. Now you can call in for a few minutes and share some things with us today if she can't come in. So thank you so much for calling.
Oh, yes. I was trying to get here as soon as possible so I could call you.
Okay. So what's on your mind, on your heart today?
Well, when I was at work today, what kept coming up in my spirit was the pyramid builders, The final cap, like on the back of the dollar bill, you know, it has the all-seeing eye up there, and but it's not connected yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like on the back of the dollar bill.
Right.
So during the end, well, these end times, that cap is supposed to be put on that pyramid, and what they're saying is, What researchers have been researching and finding out is that they think Nimrod is this final builder.
Mm.
The first builder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, Cain was the first builder. And they're talking about Cain's seed and the difference between the genealogy and of Cain. And the genealogy of Adam. And even though there was two Enochs, there's the good Enoch and the bad Enoch.
Right.
Cain's seed was the bad Enoch, which was also a builder. And what has been shall happen again. So from what I was hearing in the spirit today, that this seed or this bloodline is to come back to the earth or to manifest on the earth to finish the building of this pyramid or this Babylonian empire, which we know Babylon is a state of
confusion,
sin.
Yeah, and that
a city
too.
Of sin or whatever you want to call it, witchcraft and everything is going on in Babylon. In Babylon, anything goes, and we're almost there.
Yeah.
With the anything goes.
Oh.
And that's almost all over the world.
Right. Right.
I remember a few years back, maybe about 5 years back, the Lord had told me in the spirit to watch the homosexuality, the allowance of the gay marriage. And in my spirit, I heard, when the gay marriage is reached all over the world, then my gospel has reached all over the world.
Really?
Yes, which means a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because all these other countries that are completely against it and everything like that are being more and more subject to it and accepting it and things like that at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of what was going on during the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuality, bestiality, hybrid beings, just doing anything that you want to do. Men with beasts and beasts with men and men with men and women with women. And these things are going on right now today, and they're coming back around to resurface at this point in time.
Well, you're right about that because just like the Bible says, there is nothing new under the sun. So, can't be anything new that has not happened before. But we
might not have seen it in our generation.
Right.
Or even as long as the Bible has been around. We know the Bible has been around for generations upon generations upon generations.
Right.
Even Jesus read the scroll.
Right.
So sure. Even before him, this book has been around. Maybe not completely completed, but it has been around.
Mm-hmm.
From the Old Testament to the New. You know, he even picked up the scroll and read scripture to the congregation in his day.
Right.
And all these years and generations that this has been around, we're just now getting an insight on what it's actually saying.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's becoming clearer and clearer because I talked about honesty and clarity, so it's becoming more clearer to us what to expect in these last days. As the believers in Christ Jesus say, the last days, not only us, but the Bible talks about, you know, the last days, what will happen. Like you said, it would be like in the days of Noah. Oh, it's just, when you get to looking at a lot of those programs and doing Bible study and the things that I thought I understood about the Bible, I didn't. And the more you read, you know, the more you do understand about certain things, you know, and like the Nephilim, the giants, you know, and you think that they stopped being after David and them, you know, fought them, because Moses fought some, I guess, and then Joshua, he had to, you know.
And then it kind of like falls off when you hear about David and Goliath.
Right.
Or does it fall off? Does it still talk about those giants?
Their
name.
David.
They are the, what is the name, Lord? The Ites.
Okay. Ites. I-T-E-S, right?
Yes, the Ites.
Parasites.
All of those Ites.
Parasites, yeah.
Ananias, the all of those ites that's listed in the Bible are giants. Now, does the Bible talk about that after David? And then that's another thing, because when you do read the Bible, and if you've read through that whole Bible, you'll learn that most of the Old Testament takes place at the same time. All those prophets and stuff were all around the same time.
Really?
You have Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. Weren't they all in Babylon?
I think so, and Zephaniah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have like two periods in the Old Testament, and then you have like two periods in the New Testament. So when you realize that, most of that was going on at the same time. So when you get to David, David is before Babylon. But not necessarily, because they say that Nimrod started Babylon, because he had the Tower of Babel.
All right, that
so
is
Babylon
true.
So Babylon was even going on in Noah's day.
Oh,
and people
yeah.
don't realize that this has just all just been going on and repeating itself and repeating itself for generation after generation after generation after generation.
At least the city had not been built in Noah's day, but they were doing the acts. You know, they
right.
was doing the acts of what people did in Babylon, prostitution and all that was going on, you know. What you call it, just sinning, just doing as much sin as they felt like doing, you know, and they just hadn't put it in the little city and built it, or built the Tower of Babel trying to reach God, trying to say, well, we're not going to allow him to flood the earth again and kill everybody, boy. And then they said that Nimrod was a Nephilim, part Nephilim.
I believe that. And that's why this is all coming back. That's why they're saying his seed is going to be the one that come back to put that cap on that pyramid. Which will be the Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen. And they're saying that Antichrist will be Nephilim.
Yeah, I think I heard that too. It's going to definitely be an entity. And could you imagine all those gods coming to life and walking the earth?
No. But the thing is, they're already here. They just haven't manifested.
Right.
Just like our Lord that we praise and worship. The God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, the Most High God.
Jesus, yes.
He's on this earth. He hasn't manifested. But even if he talk to you and have you go do a deed for him, that's his works on this earth.
Right.
And just like anybody that might be worshiping Satan or anything like that, they're here. Their
yeah.
works are here.
Right, their works are here. Absolutely. You're right about that.
The yep. word is here. So, you know, I mean, like you asked me before, well, can you separate a man from his word?
No. Because you're supposed to be a man or a woman of your word. Other than that, you're lying. Right?
That's true.
Not being honest. That's where
I see, our God said, well, when the enemy compasses you on all sides, I will what? I will be with you.
I will be with you. Wow, how things are winding up. These last and evil days, the last of the last days. That's how people are saying it now, because it's been the last days since Jesus was crucified on the cross and buried in the earth for 3 days and rose from the dead on the third day and walked the earth like for 40 days and brought other people up from death that was in the holding place, you know, and he ascended up to heaven after 40 days and he was seen by many people, even his disciples. And people are having such a hard time of believing documented history of this event. But they want to believe all the other stuff. But he's
well, and you know, and a lot of things they don't believe about that either. They don't believe about the Nephilim and all this other stuff that's going on. They don't believe that that stuff is going to happen again or whatever, but the Lord said my people perish because they don't have the knowledge. And the only reason they don't have the knowledge is because they refuse it.
They reject it.
Even somebody as small as me or somebody that you might not look up to or don't think nothing about, if they have told you, it's up to you to research it. It's up to you to find out if it's true or if it's not true. If somebody high and mighty that we all done looked up to, I'll use Martin Luther King as an example. Whatever he done said, we're supposed to look that up and see if it's, if there's any truth to it or if it's a lie.
Right.
If anybody says anything to us, it is our responsibility to do the homework.
To search out the matter.
Because we perish for lack of knowledge. And, you know, when these things come up, when these people are surprised, that don't want to believe it, and be like, oh, that was back then, that ain't happened, oh, the angels ain't come down here and do this and do that, and the angels ain't do this and do that. But I know I had looked up Nephilim and, not Nephilim, but incubus and succubus in the dictionary.
Yeah.
And the definition of an incubus or a succubus is a female demon or a male demon laying with a human, basically, in the spirit, holding them down in their sleep, where they can't do nothing, talk, say nothing.
Right.
So not just was it going on then, it's still going on now, and it's still trying to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Even with our children. I mean, for years upon years upon years, this has been going on.
Oh, probably. Oh, yeah. You're talking
and
about
people
thousands.
Think that, oh, my child is crazy. Put them on all that medicine, Ritalin and all that stuff. And it could be demons.
Boy, that's something to really think about, isn't it?
And then you're going to keep them comatose under the medication that's keeping them zombified. Because you don't want to believe in the things that are on the earth.
The supernatural. That's what this is. It's supernatural. Sid Ross, he did that show. I heard a little bit of that today. It's supernatural. And that's the title of his show.
Yeah.
You know. And,
but there's a realm within our realm.
Right.
That we don't see.
And it does exist.
But it is here on this earth. People got to realize that it's here.
Yeah. Supernatural.
It's here. It has not manifested yet.
Right.
But it's here.
Right.
On this earth.
Well, Daisy, every time you call, you always give us something to talk about and something to think about when you're finished with the show. And I thank you so much for calling in. I wish we had a little bit more time, but maybe another day that you call in or come in, we can, you know.
I'm going to try to on my next early day. You know, on my next early day, I might just call in.
Okay, great.
Or just come in because I can't schedule it. It looks like that because I had all today planned out and it just didn't work that day.
Right.
Like that today.
Right. Well, we thank the Lord that you were able
to. I apologize for being late.
That's okay.
I apologize for not physically coming in.
That's okay.
I'm glad I was able to do what I could do.
Yeah.
And I just challenge someone to look into these supernatural events that are getting ready to happen and that are happening now.
We're out of time.
Thank you
so much. God bless.
Call me. All right,
bye-bye. WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel.
You know, it's interesting because everybody knows the story, obviously, of what happened there. But when that all was going down, because that's a rough period, that's a rough year. And, you know, as it comes out in Sports Illustrated that, you know, these emails were flying around on April 2nd and on December 9th, you publicly said you didn't know anything about it, and it all came down that way. Do you wish you had said, yes, I know about it on December 9th, or had reported it earlier?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure that you have all the dots connected there. But if you ask, do I wish... throughout the course of the entire situation that we would have made some different decisions, you know, without a doubt. But I'm not sure you have it exactly right.
What did I have incorrect? I want to be correct with this.
Oh, you know, that's for, you know, that's for you to try to figure out and you know, for you to know or not know. But you know, it came down the way it did.
To former Ohio State Marching Band Director John Waters.
From what I understand, the defamation lawsuit is a million-dollar lawsuit. I think that's what's been reported. Who knows if that's correct or not. But if they said, John, we made a mistake just like you said, come on back, would you drop the lawsuit?
Yeah, you know, we'd have to consider all the, you know, all the pros and cons, because there's been a lot of water over the dam, so to speak. You know, if they would say, yeah, come on back, you know, let's let cooler heads prevail, absolutely, I would get rid of the lawsuit. You know, this was, the lawsuit was just a means by which we could open the conversation with the university. And you know, as again I say, that all I have is my honor and my word and my reputation, and that's what I'm fighting for. And certainly, in doing so, I'm fighting for the reputations of all those alums and students who've been